I'm Kevin Kelly. This program is Live and Local, your connection to local music. On the show today, we have two guests with us. Brian Carrick is at Rockham Gardens in Arcola, and they're doing their Family Band Weekend, which he tells me has been going for many years. That's this coming weekend. And then the second part of the show, we have Chuck Gomez, who runs the Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois. And they're having this weekend their Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest. We'll hear all about that on today's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Those were a few movements from the Capriole Suite by Peter Warlock, a performance by the Bournemouth Sinfonietta led by George Hurst. And that was music that was inspired by a dancing treatise. And I sort of thought of that in conjunction with our first guest and the event he's going to talk about, because one can dance all one wants to bluegrass music and the like. And that's going to be part of the Family Band Weekend at Rockham Gardens in Arcola this weekend. Brian Carrick is site manager for Rockham Gardens, and he's here with us on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thanks for driving up to the station.
I'm glad to be here, Kevin.
So for those such as myself who have never been to Rockham Gardens, what would I find when I get there?
You know, every day at Rockham Gardens, we have several things going on. The first thing you'll find, you'll go through kind of a gift shop, and then you'll come to a tic-tac-toe chicken. We have one of the smartest chickens in the universe. Plays tic-tac-toe.
This is an actual chicken.
It's an actual chicken playing. It's been playing tic-tac-toe for about 30 years. We've had this game.
Same chicken?
Yeah, well, not the same chicken. Maybe some of her offspring. But the chicken's never been beaten. So, you know, if you come down, Kevin, you might be the first.
Not very likely. I've never been very good at tic-tac-toe.
I know. This is a smart chicken.
That's all right. So that's a treat right there.
That's right. Then you move on. You can go into the haunted cave. Then we have mining for gold. We have a slough you can put sand in and you get little gems out of. And the kids really like that one. Then we have a treehouse playground area and a solar-powered and wind-powered area that we're giving demonstrations there on how that's generated and have a big sign explaining all that. Then we have a video arcade with all kinds of goodies, and there are pool tables and driving machines, you know, and all that kind of thing. And then moving on down, we have a guy named Charlie, who's our potter this year. And he's actually making pottery on a kick wheel in there, and he fires it and sells it out of there. And we also have one of the only horse-drawn sawmills that I know of in the world that's still operating.
A horse-drawn sawmill. What does the horse draw?
Well, we have a horse named Lazy, who goes in a circle, drives a bunch of gears, turns a saw, and you cut off a piece of wood, and then we burn your name in it. And we've actually, last year I had a family come that was the fifth generation to cut a piece of wood and burn their name in it that had ridden on the same apparatus. It was built probably in the late 1800s, the actual machine,
right?
And it still works. And then we have a blacksmith. And then across from there we have Sarah's Garden Shop, and you can buy plants, flowers. We have a rock shop inside there. She shows you how to make soap. She does artistic wire bending and makes all kinds of birdhouse hangers and things to hang bottles of wine in and just all that kind of thing. Then on down the way, we have a Amish bakery where they make homemade cinnamon rolls, bread, chocolate, rock candy every day. And you can watch them make it in the store.
I'm still waiting for the gardens part.
Well, now hang on.
this is an amusement park.
Well, you can spend a weekend there, and it takes a full day to take it all in. Then you can take a buggy ride. We have a lot of Boy Scout and Girl Scout groups that come and work on badges. And then the Rock Home Restaurant, of course, is always open Wednesday through Sunday. And then we have Amish cooks in there, so it's Amish home cooking, you know, that's served their family style. Or on Friday night, we have spaghetti night. Saturday night, we have prime rib night. Then we have a trading post, too. It has mountain men gear in it from the Lewis and Clark era, that kind of thing. They have atlatls, which are very unusual. It's the first bow and arrow.
What's that word again?
Atlatl. Don't ask me how to spell it.
I won't. Well, I would have, but...
Saying it's hard. But it's just a stick with a little hole in the end of it that holds an arrow. You flip that thing, and it's more powerful than a bow and arrow.
Hmm.
And we have a guy there named John that'll teach you how to use those. He also teach you how to start a fire without a match. And then we have an Amish Trade Center that's handcrafted furniture is in there. We also have camping. We have teepees that are up for $18 a night. We have cabins for rent for $30 a night. We have a pond you can go fishing in. Have I mentioned enough yet? Have we got enough going on?
I'm just sort of astounded.
And that's all.
And you still haven't gotten to the gardens.
We haven't gotten to the gardens yet. Now this year, we've usually planted around 10,000 flowers or so. I think we're up in the 30,000s this year. So we found a new place we could buy that triple the amount of flowers for the same price. So the guys that planted the flowers this year just went crazy. We planted flowers for weeks in the mud and the rain. It was a lot of fun. But the gardens are actually bigger and better than they've ever been at Rock Home Garden, which has been there for 50 years. So we've outdone it this year. And I'm still taking naps to catch up from all that.
But. Yeah, well, what all are you responsible for as the site manager?
That's everything.
That's an incredible variety of things to know something about.
Yeah, it is. It takes an extremely knowledgeable person, you know, such as myself, to run a place like that. Actually, Larry and Daly, I'll sum it up kind of a nutshell. Larry Daly's one of the owners. He's real good at washing dishes. He ran a commissary in college. So one day he came out from washing dishes, dripping in sweat, you know. Had been in there for a couple hours in the restaurant catching up. And I was raking up some road apples from the horses into a shovel. And, of course, we're the two top management at Rock Home. And he said, isn't it great to be top management at Rock Home? Because, see, I get to do everything from the horse waste removal to fixing everything to making sure the entertainment's coming to getting a hold of everybody and doing radio shows and things like that, too.
Yeah, so how did you end up getting involved at the gardens in the first place?
It's quite a story. I had my wife's cousin called, and I train and sell horses, too, and she said, Rock Home Gardens needs a draft horse, and I just finished training one. So I called the owner, which was Larry, and I didn't know him at the time, came up and sold him a draft horse, and they said, do you do any farming or anything with horses? I said, well, since I was about 10. So I've had 40-some years experience now doing that. And so it kind of blossomed from there. I came up and did some volunteer stuff. Then I just did some demonstrating with horses. And then we started doing trail rides, which for insurance purposes we had to cut out this year. But we still do the buggies and that kind of thing. Now, we do trail rides for Girl Scout and Boy Scout groups and small groups like that. We still do cowboy camps. If you have 10 people or more, we can teach you how to saddle a horse, ride a horse, take care of a horse, how to lasso, how to brand, how to shoot a six gun. You'll be an actual cowboy time you leave Rock Home Garden.
Yeah, this sounds like quite a lot of experience you could get at all kinds of different activities if you want. It sounds like it would be a great thing for the scouts to do, as you
said.
Oh,
it is.
Where's the name come from? I've always wondered about that.
It's an odd name. It has a strange history. There's a man named Martin that owned it originally. It was just his farm. And during the Depression, he owned Progress Steel in Arthur. And during that time, they didn't have any work. He didn't want his men to leave and go get other work. So he brought them out to the farm, and they designed the gardens that are still there, and they started making the rock structures. They have real kind of strange and bizarre rock structures, and they just started building those just to have something to do. And then as time went on, he gave it to the Mennonite Church. They had it for several years. Then they sold it to Alvin Yoder. And he raised his family out there, and Mr. Yoda is the one that actually built it up and called it Rock Home Gardens because of the rock structures.
I'm looking at the history here from your website. It says that refers to also the term Martin Gnome.
Yes, now that I don't know a lot about that one. It was kind of a family store kind of a concept because everybody lived out there, you know, and worked out there. And he was just a great guy. You know, he obviously took care of his employees and that kind of thing.
Well, we're actually going to get to the main reason you're up here in just a moment, which is to talk about the music that's going on there this weekend. We're talking to Brian Carrick, site manager for Rock Home Gardens in Arcola. And they're having their family band weekend on Saturday and Sunday the end of this week. And later on in the show, we'll talk with Chuck Gomez of the Watsika Theater in Watsika, Illinois. They're having their Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest also this weekend. It's all here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Jig from the St. Paul's Suite of Gustav Holst, and I thought we'd play that before we start talking here about some dancing music from the number of family bands that are going to be at Rock Home Gardens this weekend. But first, I'll remind you that you're listening to Live and Local on WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for public telecommunication. Thanks to the generosity of Alice and Robert Campbell. And sitting with me in Campbell Hall is Brian Carrick of Rock Home Gardens. So you said this family band weekend has been going on for how long?
I believe it's been in the 30-ish years. It's a long-standing tradition at Rock Home Garden.
So tell me about it.
Well, what they do is they have most of the bands play on the outdoor stage. There'll also be bands kind of impromptu jam sessions taking place here, there, and yonder all over the park, too. And it just kind of depends on who shows up. You know, we have a list of names that we know will show up, the bands that will be there, but there's also everybody's welcome.
How many bands typically? Is there a typical answer to that?
Between 10 and 30. It just depends.
So the improv part is who shows.
Yeah.
And you really never.
Who's
so,
free.
I mean, do you encourage people to just bring their instruments? I mean, whoever they may be, just guests?
If they'd like to come, you know, and play in other areas other than the stage area, that'd be fine. Yeah.
Are there opportunities for people to just get together and jam?
Oh, yeah.
Just
they do that quite a bit, too. And on Saturday night, it'll go way into the evening, you know, after the official show's over, you know, they'll still be people playing all over.
What are the hours for the event?
Oh, we open 10 to 6 is the official hours, but it's hard to tell when it'll wind down.
But the best stuff probably happens at night, I'm guessing.
Usually. Usually.
Especially if you're a musician and you like jamming. And you told me that you play.
Yeah, I've been at it since I was about 13 with different bands around the area.
Drums.
Yeah.
And what kind of bands... What kind of music do your bands play?
Oh, if you want to make money, you play top 40 country. I like rock and roll better. I've played in jazz bands, too, and stuff. So,
but you don't do any bluegrass?
I haven't done any bluegrass, no. Usually, well, I have some friends that play bluegrass, and they usually tell me to take my drum and beat it. The drums and bluegrass don't go together as
no,
well.
No, I guess that's true. Yeah, bluegrass bands don't usually have a drummer.
No.
Maybe usually guitar, certainly banjo, fiddle,
Stand-up bass, that kind of thing.
You got to have the bass. Yeah, I wonder how many people you have hauling basses down there at the
There's
at
a
the
bunch
event.
Of them. A lot of them have the wash tub basses, too. I like those.
Is there a charge to get into the gardens, I assume?
Yep, it's $8. Well, it's more than that. I can't remember now what we do charge on. On bluegrass, it's a little more. I think it's under 100, if I remember right.
I hope so.
It's $8 normally, but on Bluegrass Weekend, it is a little higher.
So if people want more information, they can either call what number?
268-4106.
Or you have a pretty informative website.
Yeah, we have a great website. You can get on there at rockhome.com.
And that's...
You can get all the details.
R-O-C-K-O-M-E.
Yep.
Yeah, first time I saw that, I was... For some reason, I thought... I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, even though it looks really obvious.
Yeah, we've had people say, is it Rockamy?
Yeah.
I always figured they were English when they named it because they dropped their H. That makes sense to me. I don't know, but...
I have a list here of the bands that have been advertised as coming, just in case any folks happen to know any of these groups and are inclined to come out to hear them. The Majerus Family... Lonesome Meadow, Conley and Schmidt, Illinois Rail, Blue River Bluegrass, The King Family, Common Ground, and Heartland Cloggers. So is the idea that all of these bands are family bands, or maybe not?
Well, most of them are. Yeah, most of them are related. Yeah. And a lot of those bands have been at it for years and years.
We had not a bluegrass band, but last week on the show, the Schwartz Family Band, play various kinds of old-time music. I wonder if they're going to show up down there.
Well, we hope they do.
Well, if they're listening to this, they have let's say somebody has a band and they want to come play. Mm-hmm. Does it cost them to do that or just the price of admission and they can set up shop?
Yeah, they could come on in. Yeah, we could have them in a different area. The stage area, you know, we'll have the bands that were booked, you know, and that kind of thing. And then there's 40 acres they can spread out on. They'll draw a crowd.
And I assume that, I shouldn't assume, there's opportunities for people to sit and picnic or...
Oh, yeah.
Just flop down and listen wherever they are.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of seating available and that kind of thing. And Rockholm's just a great place to get away from the noise. All you'll hear is clip-clop of hooves with the Amish buggies going around. And it's just, you know, a real quiet, relaxing place to get away for a while.
And I assume it's a family event?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I mean, if you're going to have families playing, you want to have families.
Yeah, everything at Rockholm Garden is very family-friendly. We try to, you know, reach back into the past and do something from the 30s, you know, the school groups love it because you can... Let your kids you don't have to watch every move they make or be worried about the other people around, that kind of thing. They can have a little freedom to run around.
Do you find that for this event, which you said is really quite popular every year, that people tend to come from the immediate area or are there a certain number of people that come from quite far away? I mean, have you got a reputation for this?
We do. We get a lot of Chicago and a lot of St. Louis people.
Really?
Because we're just 5 miles off of 57. So we get a lot of traffic from the cities.
So people do look forward to this every year if you happen to be a fan of a little kind of bluegrass. Now, we were talking before we actually started the show that there's bluegrass and there's bluegrass. Mm-hmm. And which kind of bluegrass does this tend to be?
It'll be all of it. Some will be this way, some will be that way. And it'll be more modern bluegrass. Some of them will play and some of them will play the old, you know, kind of mountain music. Bluegrass.
Which is the one, where singers tend to have a little twangier sound to it.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
As opposed to closer to country singing, I guess, mm-hmm. with more modern and a mix of folk almost.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of this. So you're going to get all that there.
It'll all be there. Yeah, sure
will. That sounds like a lot of fun, and I appreciate your coming up and telling us about it. Now, if somebody only had a few hours. Mm-hmm. To come to Rockholm Gardens, what would you say they would just have to do?
Oh, you'd have to play the tic-tac-toe chicken, you know. I mean,
well, that sounds like a given, yeah.
And then what I would suggest is getting your name burned in the wood because, you know, you Of course, it's a good time for taking pictures and things, too, you know, where the child actually rides on the horse as the sawmill cuts a piece of wood, and then you burn it. And we've had people, you know, that, like I say, they've had it for five generations. You know, it's kind of a keepsake treasure. And Rock Home Garden, you know, has been running for 50 years, so there's lots of wood all over America. Little names burn in it. So it's quite a keepsake, you know, and there's souvenirs, you know, to get at each shop, too.
Well, it sounds like a great place to spend the weekend, and especially a musical weekend. And that is the subject of this show, Live and Local. So it's the Family Band Weekend at Rock Home Gardens in Arcola, 268-4106, if you want to call for information. And you can also see the names of the bands, see if there's any you recognize on their website. It's Rockhome, R-O-C-K-O-M-E. .com, and you can find out all you need to know. Brian Carrick is the site manager and my guest on Live and Local. Thanks very much for coming up.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
And next, we're going to have a conversation with Chuck Gomez of the Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois, about their Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest, also this weekend. It's live and local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Music by Percy Grainger, played by Penelope Thwaites. That was called Molly on the Shore. And you heard it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, 6th and University in Champaign, now serving dine-in lunch and dinner daily from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., featuring a Middle Eastern menu along with hot soup, Turkish coffee, and herbal teas. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting Public Radio. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And this weekend is the second annual Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest at the Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois, and officially outside of our listening area, but it's not a far drive, depending upon where you are in our listening area. And with us today, Chuck Gomez, who is the owner of the theater. And I appreciate your coming up and to talk about the theater and about the festival.
Well, thank you very much for having me here, Kevin. It's a pleasure and an honor to be at WILL 90.9 here on campus, a beautiful campus this time of year. And thank you for inviting us up to talk about the Watseka Theater's second annual Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest this year.
You sound like you're used to being on the radio.
I enjoy talking about the theater and the music that takes place there, and I might have done one or two radio interviews before.
Yeah, I imagine so. So tell us about the theater. I mean, I've unfortunately not been there, but I've heard particularly of you have the Sugar Creek Music Festival that happens there.
Yes,
that's later in the summer.
It's later in the summer. We had it here at the theater last year in August. And I'm so glad you asked about the theater because it's really something close to my heart and my co-owner and partner's heart, Deborah Liddell. It is a 1931 Art Deco theater that we saved from a loss to the community, a wonderful landmark, the most expensive building ever built in the county at the time, the first county to incorporate safety and building codes back then, and the first building in the county that was air-cooled, air-conditioned of sorts with a evaporative cooling system. But it was its greatest claim to fame is it was designed by Lewis Skidmore, Now, Lewis Skidmore may not be the most common name to your listening audience, but in the architectural circles, he's absolutely at the pinnacle of his profession. And Lewis Skidmore not only designed the Watseka Theater fairly closely after graduating from MIT and coming back from Europe with Art Deco influences, but 2 years later, he went on and used the Watseka Theater as his prototype building for the Chicago World's Fair Century of Progress, 1933. He then was invited to design the United Nations buildings in New York. His firm designed the Sears Tower and the John Hancock Center and buildings all over the world, but it's the only theater he ever designed, and it's one of his oldest buildings, and it is just a true diamond in our own backyard. We are so happy to have that building restored.
So how did he end up choosing Watseka to build his only theater?
Yeah, isn't that an interesting question to ponder? But he grew up on the other side of the border in Indiana, not too far from there, and smart guy, went off to MIT, graduated, picked up a couple buddies. They went off to Europe, came back, as many of us do when we come back from college. We have great expectations for things, and they didn't pan out immediately. Went back to his hometown and was kind of fishing around for work, and the Watseka Theater Corporation approached him with several projects, but the Watseka Theater was the only one that they went ahead with and that he designed, and eventually opened then offices in Chicago and joint offices in New York also.
His offices, not the theater offices.
His offices, yeah. Louis Skidmore's, yeah.
Well, that's you can't have a much better architectural resume than those places that
You really can't.
Mentioned. And how did you get involved with the theater?
Well, I had I have lived in Watseka for over 30 years now, a retired band director in the area, music major out of the south side of Chicago, and settled in small town America, teaching band in Cisna Park, and owned a little place that I live in, and Watseka, and right down the street was this old theater that was boarded up, broken windows. It turned out once we got into it, 6 feet of water in the basement for 10 years and hundreds of dead pigeons everywhere and total disrepair. The floors had rotted out, and the floor joists had rotted out, and the seats had rusted through from 30 years of leaky roofs and things. And I looked in it and said, I saw what it could be, not what it was, and through about an 8-month negotiation, found the bank that had repossessed it and owned it, and the owner, who was still on the title, and the bank was in Detroit, and the owner was in Arizona, and there was another associate that was somewhere in Indiana, and put it together in May of 2007. Announcing to the community boldly and proudly that we would be open for New Year's Eve that year, 2007-2008. And, of course, everyone said, he's the dumbest guy we've ever met.
Or the craziest. Or
and the craziest, yeah. So we had our work cut out for us and rolled up our sleeves and jumped right in. And for the next 7 months straight, without a day off, just constant every day, we made our opening. We worked right up until someone arrived early for the show and caught me still in sweatpants and sweatshirt hanging artwork and the last of the drapery curtains on the side of the stage and said, "Are you wearing that tonight?" And because it was a black tie opening. And I said, "I think it's time for me to quit and change into my tuxedo for the night." So we worked right up until opening, but we made it. We were open. And since then, we have finished the last 5 or 10% on the building that was awaiting us at opening. And it is just a magical building that becomes a time machine the moment you step through its doors.
What's the seating capacity of the theater?
Originally, the seating was 660, with absolutely no stage to speak of, maybe a 6-foot vaudeville stage. and narrow seats for people that were smaller back in 1931. Little leg room, but we have taken out 260 seats and extended the stage, larger stage area, and now we comfortably seat in our wonderfully custom-designed seats 400 people in our theater.
Sounds like it sounds comfortable. I was going to say cozy, and you said there was a small stage. What is the stage now?
Now the stage has been increased to 22 feet in depth and almost 50 feet in width. But with 400 seats in the theater, we are now one of only four remaining small house, which is 500 seats or less, small house Art Deco theaters left in America. Only
wow.
One of four. And we are very proud to have it in Iroquois County, which is just a stone's throw away from Champaign-Urbana. And we have many people that attend our activities that come from Champaign-Urbana. Absolutely.
Well, and I know you have a lot of musicians who go up there to play,
yes.
Particularly for the Sugar Creek Festival.
Mm-hmm.
We're going, of course, here to talk about the music that's happening specifically this weekend, the Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest. But first, give us an idea of some of the other events that typically come through the theater, and how often do you have shows?
Well, our shows range anywhere from every other week to once a month. That's the approximate running time between shows. As people become more and more used to having world-class entertainment down the street, we're slowly building our attendance. Every show we get a little larger, a little stronger every show. But we have had everything from travel days to expos of agriculture. That was a tremendous success. We had lined the street with antique tractors and filled the adjacent parking areas with modern equipment and had 25 or 30 local agriculturally related vendors there. And I think we had 600 people in through the theater that Saturday. We have had, of course, Blues Fest that we'll be talking about momentarily, and Anna Popovic from Europe has toured through the Watseka Theater. We've had opera. We've had country acts. We've had jazz with Bobby Wilson and some of her related musicians in her groups. We've had rock and roll. We've had oldies music. We've had artistic expos. We have our cafe, which is styled after a Parisian 1940s European cafe. It's now open on Fridays for dining, for full-course dining, and we have live music on Fridays, never a cover charge. We have a full bar that's always open for bar service and drinks and cocktails and imported beers and imported scotches, and that's always available during the performances and shows. I'm negotiating right now with the USA Ballet, and I have great expectations of bringing the ballet now to Watseka. And looking into the future, the theater being a time machine backwards, and our crystal ball to the future shows that we have great hopes of making Watseka a fine arts mecca and bringing all types. In fact, speaking of all types of entertainment, we have started negotiations with the Roger Ebert Festival in hopes of talking them into extending the festival and maybe to another locale halfway between Chicago and Champaign-Urbana, and maybe just sneak a couple movies in that way with the festival that Roger Ebert's namesake is. And that would be wonderful if we could provide everything that they hope to have in a small movie house for their independent films.
Yeah, I was going to ask if in the midst of all the music you also show movies.
We do not show movies on a regular basis, but for Mother's Day, we throw a movie on every now and then. And for Mother's Day this past, we had on Ball of Fire, which was one of my favorites, with featuring the Gene Krupa Orchestra in it, and Gary Cooper and Barbara Stanwyck. And we had an Irish Flynn Dancer concert, Sunday afternoon concert series. That also included Barry Cloy on solo guitar, and part of that show was scenic landscapes of Ireland that we showed on the screen, and he accompanied as background. And we've had other movies that we show on a free movies that we show on special occasion, but I really can't say that movies are not part of our long-range plans. I think they are.
By way of introduction to the Blues and Arts Fest, you brought along a couple of recordings of some of the bands that are going to be there. Why don't you introduce this first one we'll play for listeners?
Well, everybody can get a CD of B.B. King and Bobby Blue Bland and ZZ Hill and all the great blues artists, but I thought I'd feature some of our lesser known but not less in quality and musical ability bands. And this is one of our local regional bands that's going to be performing at the Blues Fest. And I'm proud to say the After Midnight Blues Band will be outside, closing the outside stage, the quality blues stage. And their set starts at 6 o'clock and runs until 7:30. And that's the After Midnight Blues Band we're going to be hearing.
This is a tune called Why You Wanna Mistreat Me on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a tune called Why You Want to Mistreat Me, played by the After Midnight Blues Band, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that band will be among the performers at the Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest at Watseka Theater in Watseka, Illinois. It's their second annual celebration of the blues. And my guest on Live and Local this part of the show is Chuck Gomez, who's co-owner of Watseka Theater. How did you come up with the idea of doing this particular festival?
Well, Kevin, it's funny you ask that. I started off in production working for the very first Chicago Blues Fest out of the Mayor's Office of Special Events. And I ended up working for the Mayor's Office of Special Events for the next 13 years. And we produced and put together Barry Dolan's first Blues Fest. And everything from stage managing to playing with a few bands to setting up the stage and security and bringing in the sound and lighting. It was an absolute wonderful training for producing my own Blues Fest. And after we had the theater up and running a little bit, Deborah and I decided, you know, we could have a little event. We have this huge lot and area right behind the theater's doors, back doors, and we'll open it up. We'll bring in a little stage. I bet we could do our own little Blues Fest. Well, lo and behold, it was wonderfully successful the first year. The second year, I've already received a call from Elwood Blues, Mr. Dan Aykroyd, who gave us a little radio time, and I had to refer to him as Elwood.
Elwood Blues.
Yeah, and they gave us 20 minutes of coverage on his House of Blues radio hour, and I hope that brings in a lot of folks. We've expanded our Blues Festival to invite and bring in numerous barbecue chefs and booths along with other types of food. There'll be Mediterranean food there. There'll be desserts. There'll be funnel cakes. There'll be things very typical of a festival. We've also expanded it to an arts fest, arts and crafts, and there's going to be quite a few artist booths there that are free to the public. The food is free to the public. The seating area where the alcohol is sold close to the stage is $5 admission. But that $5 covers you all day long, in and out. You'll be stamped so you can come and go home, take a nap, and come back for the headliners at night. But the I just want to quickly mention that some of the things that we've had at the theater on the inside stage, we were very proud of the vaudeville nights that we had last year, and we do every July 3rd. And we honor our World War II veterans, and we admit them free of charge. And we had between 35 and 40 World War II veterans for our last wonderful Vaudeville Nights show, which will be again this year, July 3rd. And we've run the gambit from vaudeville to having weddings and people getting married on stage to high school proms. And the theater is opening the doors to the community and to performers and musicians and members of the fine arts community in ways that I really didn't even envision possible. But it has grown leaps and bounds, and our Blues Fest this year is larger, bigger, stronger, better than ever. And it starts at 11 a.m. on May 30th, and it runs until midnight, 12:30. We have 9 bands. It's $5 admission for the entire day. Imported beers, cocktail hut, food all day long, wonderful art, and, of course, great bands playing blues up on the Quality Blues stage.
So it's a mix of bands from the area and also some from elsewhere.
Local, regional, and national.
And you do go, I noticed from your schedule here, you go inside to the theater stage in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And are these the really special headliners after that?
Yes, these are our, when it gets dark, we close the outside stage about 7:30 and move indoors. Your ticket's still good for indoors. Come on in, sit in our wonderful Art Deco Theater. Up on stage will be two acts. The last two remaining acts are national acts, Queenie and the Blue Cats out of Madison, Wisconsin, and Doug McDonald, the Arkansas Razorback from Chicago, and Buddy Guy's guitarist, and he'll be down national act with Doug McDonald and the Blue Mirror Band, and he's closing the show. He's our big headliner for the night.
And you mentioned already the After Midnight Blues Band, which we played earlier, and we're going to play another clip in another cut in just a moment, as we will also have our calendar here in just about a minute for a couple of other events going on in the next few days. Here on Live and Local, our guest is Chuck Gomez, co-owner of Watseka Theater, about their second annual Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest, which sounds like a great deal of fun, especially if you like the blues. Is it a mix of electric and acoustic blues?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Last year we had 8 bands, and I was careful to choose bands that had a variety of sound and style to their blues. And again this year, it really doesn't matter what type of blues you're looking for, hot blues, electric blues, Delta blues, Memphis blues, Chicago style, shuffle blues. There's going to be a band there playing one of those styles. So it's not a long, monotonous day of the same type of blues. Each band has its own style and characteristic to the way they interpret and perform the blues.
It's just amazing to me the amount of music that one can make out of the standard blues chord progression.
Oh. What would we do without those 3 chords, huh?
And I've always heard that a real jazz player is not considered worth anything unless they can play the blues.
There you go.
At least I've heard that said.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I think one of the greatest blues soloists of all time was Johnny Hodges, which was noted for his jazz with the Duke Ellington Band. But you listen to his solos, and Johnny just took you home with the blues every night.
Well, you can spend the afternoon and actually the late morning, the whole afternoon and the night with the blues at the Blues Barbecue and Arts Fest at the Watseka Theater. Starts at 11 o'clock this Saturday. And for more information, where would folks go?
Well, absolutely. The entire rundown of all the bands that are there can be found on our website, Watseka Theater. Theater spelled R-E, but it's watsekatheater.com. Or you can call 815-993-6585, and we'll be happy to tell you all the lineup of food and entertainment and, of course, all the blues players that are going to be there.
Chuck Gomez, thanks very much for coming on Live and Local.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Baby, please, don't walk out the door.
And here are a couple of other events, a few other events you can attend in the next few days. Timber Train is a band playing at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood. That's at 5:30 this evening. It's Acoustic Tuesday with Jeremy Harper at Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign. That is at 7:30 tonight. The Piano Man plays at the Canopy Club in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus. That's at 9 o'clock tonight. Donnie Heitler plays solo jazz piano tomorrow evening at 6 at the Great Impasta in Urbana. And it's the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And then on Thursday at noon, a free program at the Mills Breast Cancer Center Institute at Carl Clinic. Braggadocio, which is Carl's resident baritones, are going to be performing a free noontime show. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly for WILL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. Forecast calls for a mostly cloudy afternoon with occasional showers and perhaps a thunderstorm, the high 77. Tonight, cloudy with some showers, the low 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few showers and a high of 76, currently 76 degrees, coming up on a minute past 1.